Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we are going to join a couple callers here in just a few moments as well. But I also want to encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me. You can listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also follow the link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. As I said before, I had somebody ask me if I was an associate pastor. I said, no, I am the pastor. We only have one pastor. We're not a big church. We only have one pastor, and it's me. And so I had our morning service this morning. And, of course, we had a Bible study before the morning service. We had a morning service. We had a fellowship celebrating 1 year in our new location, and we're very thankful for that. And then had a service this evening at 6 o'clock and got home from that after cleaning up a bunch of stuff, taking stuff home. And I think I got home, and a half hour later I had to head up to the radio station and got up here those of you who are aware, we are on the air in Northeast Ohio at 10 o'clock, and then we come on the air in the Tampa Bay area in Florida at 11 o'clock, and we're on until midnight. So it makes a long day for me, but I enjoy it. I was telling somebody, I'm a night owl. I like being on up at night and doing. I get some of my most productive stuff done at night, but sometimes it's a little challenging because when we have a big day, special day like we did at church today, I'm up a little later than normal, and I do have to confess I was up a little later than usual for myself normally, I went to bed early. Early this morning, and got up early this morning. So I think I had about 3.5 hours of sleep, and then I managed to get another half hour nap before, and that was all this morning. And then got about an hour's nap this afternoon, so I feel a little better here tonight, but just enjoy being able to be on the air. We're going to get to our callers here, but I do want to announce something on the radio here as waiting for the 11 o'clock hour, because this involves our Tampa Bay area stations on Faith Talk Tampa. We are going to be going for another year there on Faith Talk Tampa, it's just exciting. It's been great to be able to be on the radio in the Tampa Bay area, and we're on a Salem affiliate up here in northeastern Ohio on AM 1220 The Word, and now it's good to be on Faith Talk Radio, Faith Talk there in Tampa, Florida, here on Sunday nights. And we've been on for a year. We had a generous gift a little over a year ago. Somebody donated the money to be able to pay for this whole year that we've been on the radio in Tampa at one time. And that was kind of nice. And so that enabled us to be able to do it. Well, we had another donation that's going to enable us to be on the air for another year in the Tampa Bay area. And so we're just thankful for that. So we are just announcing that at church this week and today. And so this is the first time I got a chance to mention it on the radio. So if you're listening to me there in in the Tampa Bay area and you enjoy the program, continue to pray for us. We've got another year locked in, so Lord willing, you get to put up with me for another year on the radio. So hopefully I'll be a blessing to you in some way. All right. Well, again, if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And in the last hour, I was talking with Terry, who calls from Canada pretty frequently. Usually about every week, we get a call from our friend Terry in Canada, and we share a number of things. And we were talking about eternal security, and we kind of ran up against the end of the hour there, but I thought that some of what we were talking about was important enough that we want to come back and revisit this idea of eternal security, especially for our listeners that are joining us during this hour. So whether or not you heard the last hour, you'll be able to listen right now as we talk a little bit more about this. And I do want to mention something. If you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to past programs there. If you don't get our first hour where you're at, you can find it there. We are up to date, I think, through last week's program. I had hoped to have last Friday's program, which we also have a Friday program, a half-hour program, every Friday afternoon at 1:30 here in Northeast Ohio. And I hope to have last Friday's, but the server that our website was on apparently suffered some kind of problem. I don't know if it was a cyber attack or what. There's a number of things that have been happening here, cyber attacks and things in the last several days. But the whole server was just completely offline. I could not get into my web pages, couldn't update them, couldn't even see them. I couldn't even contact the tech support because everything was down. Tried to send them an email, and it said there was no such domain. Just before 11 o'clock, just before 10 o'clock tonight, my web pages just popped back up. And when they first came back up, most of the pictures were gone. I think there's still a few funky things on there right now, a few things missing, but it's nice. They've been gone for several days, and they just popped up, like I said, right around 10 o'clock. In fact, one page that I have that has a number of articles and things listed on it, parked there, wouldn't come up at all. It was still saying that there was no domain there, no website there. And while I was looking at it, all of a sudden it popped up again. So hopefully they're getting some of those things resolved. And keep praying for us. You know, being a small church, I'm the one who maintains the web page. So in my limited capacity, if I don't get it done right away, it doesn't get done. And if I don't know how to do it right away, it doesn't get done. But I'm just thankful that the web page is back up. So you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our social media pages that we have, as well as listen to past programs, link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and a number of articles and things that we have there. But getting back to our topic of the eternal security, and we have Terry who's patiently waiting for us. And Terry, are you still there?
Yes.
Yes. Well, we were talking about eternal security, and we were talking about John 3:16, and I mentioned this going at the end of the last hour. I was preaching on John 3:16, actually verses 16 and 17, this morning at our church, and you know, I was contrasting the errors that the Calvinists make. That's the people who believe that essentially there's no free will. God foreordains everything, and the only people who get saved are people that God created to be saved. And if you're not created to be saved, then you're created to populate the lake of fire for all eternity, and you have no choice because that's the way God created you. And so what Christ did on the cross was only for those that he chose to save. believe, but a big logical problem with that is that it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, which implies that some people won't believe, but if you're part of the elect as the Calvinist believes, you have no choice and you will believe. So the statement whosoever believes is a illogical statement because all of them would. There would be no chance that somebody would not, which whosoever implies. And then, of course, the Arminian position that believes that you can choose to be saved, which is true, but then they reject eternal security. They believe that you can lose your salvation just as you can choose to be saved. You can essentially choose to lose your salvation through sin or whatever various ways they come up with. But they also make a mistake here because it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is something God does for you. At the moment of salvation, he declares you to be saved or free from sin. Your sin's taken care of. You're cleansed from all sin. And, of course, he continues to cleanse us from sin. And what happens is he said, you'll never perish. You should not perish. And you will have everlasting life, which means it will never come to an end. In verse 15, he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's the same thing. Eternal means without end. And so both the Calvinist position and the Arminian position have some truths. Calvinists believe in eternal security. The Arminian does not. The Arminian believes in free will. The Calvinist does not. And a lot of people think they're somewhere between these two, when the reality is it's not a straight line between Calvinism and Arminianism. It's a triangle with the biblical position that allows for free will, where you can choose to be saved, but then it also means that when you trust Christ as your Savior, he declares you to be justified and to be his child, adopted into the family of Christ. Your sins are forgiven, you're cleansed from all sin, and he's given you eternal life and said that you'll never perish. You can see that again in John chapter 10, where he specifically says, he says specifically the words here. Let me just turn over so we have no ambiguity here. He says specifically in John 10, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the biblical position allows for the free will to choose, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All of this is what the Bible says. So the biblical position accepts that, but it also understands that not everybody will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But when you do, you'll never perish. You have eternal life, and nobody, that includes yourself, can pluck you out of God's hand. And so the biblical position is where we want to be, the top of that triangle. And when you depart downward and toward either the Arminian or the Calvinistic positions, you're departing to a man-made system that has some things correct, but also has a number of things incorrect. And I don't know about you, but I want to be as close as possible to the top of that pyramid, where we have the biblical position, where whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord not only will be saved, but will be saved for all eternity. You'll never perish. You have eternal life, everlasting life, and nobody, including yourself, can pluck you out of God's hands. And that's the precious promise of salvation, isn't it?
That's the hope of glory.
Exactly. And so that's so much better than constantly worrying that you're going to lose your salvation. Or
what hope do we have?
Yeah, or even worse, well, I don't know if it's even worse, which one would be worse? Worrying whether or not you're going to lose your salvation, or worrying whether or not you're created to be saved or not? What if I'm created to not be saved? What, I have no hope. I actually heard somebody try to say that a person that's created to not be saved will glorify God in the lake of fire because they're doing what God created them to do. Now that, to me, is monstrous.
And the problem that people have, too, is they rather believe men rather than God.
Well, yeah.
We're creatures of habit. We get brought up a certain way, like the Calvinists.
Yeah.
And they're so used to hearing, you know, about this, that God already chose who he's going to choose,
yeah.
that they, you know, it's hard to change them.
Yeah.
That's the same with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, yeah. They would rather believe what a man says than what God says.
Yeah, and that's the whole problem right there,
mm-hmm.
in a nutshell.
And it leads you away from the truth of the Scripture.
Right, which the devil likes to do. That's his job.
And there's a lot of good people who are caught up in those things. I'm not saying that if somebody believes those things, they can't be saved. I'm just saying a lot of good people get caught up in those things. But you've got to remember, Arminius and Calvin were both men that struggled with difficult passages in the Bible, and they came up with systems. I believe Calvin was first, but they came up with systems that helped them understand difficult positions, but then it caused more problems in the long run. And so they just, I told our church, we went through a long series on Calvinism and Arminianism. I said the Calvinists, they round off the corners of the square peg and use a big enough mallet to put it in the round hole. And the Arminianists, they square off the round peg and use a big enough hammer to put it in the square hole. So, you know, it's...
There's one thing about the Calvinists, now you're on that subject, that the Calvinists are they teach replacement theology.
A lot of them do, but not all of them do.
No.
Not all of them do, but replacement theology, that stems from the Protestant movement where, and really a lot of Calvin came out of the Catholic Church too, so a lot of the Calvinistic theory, if you look into it, he actually, some of that came back from, what was the one guy in the Catholic Church?
Luther?
In the Catholic Church. One of the, I'm just having a moment where I can't think of the guy's name. He was a prominent philosopher and intellectual early in the Catholic Church. Not Thomas Aquinas, or was it Thomas Aquinas? No, I don't think it was Thomas Aquinas who... No, Martin Luther was one of the Protestant reformers. This was it may have come to me a little bit later on. But he actually had advocated some of the things that Calvin did. And Calvin was educated as an attorney in the Roman Catholic system, later came out of it as one of the Protestant reformers. And the Protestant reformers, when they came out of the Catholic Church, they carried some of the Catholic baggage with them. And the dominion theology was one of the baggage, some of the baggage that they carried with them. And that's where I like the Baptist history that goes back to the first century, the early Christians, and as opposed to the false teaching that Baptists originated in the 1600s in England or Holland. You can trace it all the way back to the first century. It's very easy to do. I actually have an article on our website at livewithpastoral.com that looks into the historical background of the Baptists. And the Baptists, though some of them came out of the Catholic Church, it's a system of theology that never was a part of the Catholic Church. In fact, it existed prior to the Catholic Church coming into being. Catholic Church really came into being of its own in terms of its system and everything, probably about the 4th century, where, you know, the Baptists go back to the 1st century. It's easy to be a Baptist. All I have to do is open up the Bible and follow along what it says. But other systems, you got to learn how to reinterpret it. And dominion theology is a part of that. So, but at any rate, that's a whole other area there. But we were talking about eternal security, that's important too. I think even the idea of losing your salvation, that points to a little bit of Catholic baggage too, because, you know, in Catholicism, you never know quite whether you've made it or not. So, I want what the Scripture has to say. So, any rate, but Terry, I do have somebody else waiting patiently as well that I should get to here.
To mention one thing, I went back to work again. I just went back to work again, roofing, and not working tomorrow at all,
All right, well, God bless and stay safe. Don't fall off any roofs.
No.
That's not a good thing to do. I keep you working. So
we have to take a lot of courses. We have to take courses, safety courses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not a job that I would enjoy doing. So I appreciate people who are willing to do that. But again, thank you for the call tonight and the subject. Appreciate that, and a great subject to talk about. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy who's been patiently waiting for us tonight. Nancy, thank you so much for waiting.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you for taking my call. Double congratulations that Tampa Bay has one more year. Somebody generously donated a whole year to them. That is wonderful. And also, congratulations on your one-year anniversary for being in the new church, and it's also in Richfield. And I think I've been to almost all the Friday night Bible studies. I highly recommend them to anybody listening if they want to go for a wonderful Bible study. It's so wonderful to have the give and take, questions and answers, instead of just listening to a sermon. So praise the Lord. And then also I wanted to say, I'm another night owl, Pastor Al. I have been a night owl, I mean, like all my life. And different people have tried to reform me over the years, including my late husband. He was an early bird. And but I just, you know, I come alive at night. I'm like wide awake. I feel more ambitious. I'll do things in the middle of the night that other people can do during the day. And, well, yeah, that's not why I called.
Yeah, but just touching on that, you know, you have to find out what works for you. And
right.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, and I, what they call morning larks and night owls and morning larks. Well, and a lot of times you get morning people who they're absolutely convinced that somehow being a night owl is something, there's something wrong with you, and if you just apply yourself, you will become more productive. And I know, because I had jobs when I was in the Air Force. I used to have to be the first one in the morning, because I had to go collect the morning traffic from the comm center, and I had to go in, I had to be in there before our commanding officer got in. And I had to break down all the message traffic that came in the night before. And and the most important thing, of course, was have the coffee pot ready, because I remember our colonel that we had there, he said, listen, and he was a good guy. He was actually a Christian, born-again Christian. And he'd say, listen, I don't care if the message traffic is all broken down when I get in, as long as the coffee's ready. And he'd come in, and he'd sit down, and it was kind of his quiet time. He had his stars and stripes, so he'd get his cup of coffee. And so I learned to be able to get the coffee ready, make sure it was in there before he got in there.
Right.
And he'd sit in there, read the stars and stripes, and occasionally have a little conversation, and I'd be breaking down the message traffic. And just as an aside, one morning I was really tired. I think it was about 5:30 in the morning, 6 in the morning, something like that. And it was a little extra early. And I go to the comm center, and I ring the buzzer. And guy comes to the door, and we had like this little half door, because the comm center people, they like to keep us separate, you know, from them.
Oh.
And so it was the only place in our building that I couldn't get into. I had access to every place in the building except the comm center. Never did get in there. It's the only place. But I ring the door, and this guy comes, and on his name tag, you know, where you have, you know, the person's last name. His last name was Jesus, which, of course, if you're familiar with the Spanish spelling, it's J-E-S-U-S. And I'm bleary-eyed, you know, not being a morning person, you know, kind of stumbling around trying to wake up still. And I look, and here comes, and again, I know it's Spanish, it's Jesus, I know that, but remember my tired state, I look up and I see Airman Jesus giving me my message for the day. He had a stack of papers for me, and it just struck me as humorous that one morning it was a little bit of something that God did to kind of cheer me up a little bit that morning. But I when I was in college, I used to start on projects, you know, not at 8 in the morning, but at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And I would just work till the wee hours of the morning. I wouldn't be productive if I did it in the morning. And likewise, traveling, you know, it just I do better in the evening, so it's more productive.
I just got inspired. I was going to this one herbalist doctor a few years ago, and she was just determined to reform me to become an early bird. And she says, "What you have to do, I mean, I'm retired, I can get up whenever I want." She says, "What you have to do is you set your alarm for 9 a.m. for a couple weeks. You get up then, and then you set your alarm for 8 a.m., and then gradually 7 a.m. And just think, you're going to have the whole day, all daylight, to do things instead of doing things at night." And it just didn't work for me. She just didn't seem to understand the circadian rhythms. And I used to talk to my late twin sister late at night, because she was a night owl too. And then I have this one really good friend. She's a night owl. I can text her like at 3 a.m. or whatever. She's wide awake. So it's really fun to know who's a night owl and who's not. But I mean, I respect early birds. I mean, they're far more practical, you know, to be able to get up in the morning and function. But I'm just not one of them. Well, my subject tonight is, you know, we always hear that Israel is God's chosen people, but I have a suggestion for another group that I think could be called God's chosen people.
Mm.
Now, you've explained really well the last few times of Friday night Bible study and then Sunday evening about those that are raptured prior to the tribulation.
Yes.
Well, they'll go up in heaven and then they'll come back during the millennium. They will not have their sin nature, but those that are saved during the tribulation and then later on in the millennium, if I understand correctly, they still have their sin nature even though they're saved. So I think those that are saved prior to the rapture, I think those are God's chosen people because they're special. They don't have to deal, you know, with their sin nature. But those that are, do I have this timing correctly? Is this true? Everybody that's saved after the rapture, then they will still have a sin nature, even though they're saved. It's sort of like we are now prior to the rapture. If you could clarify that, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and when we look at it, we know, of course, and Paul wrote about the catching away of the believers a couple of times. There's two big passages, one, of course, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, very important passage, but also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, another very important passage. And this is the one here in 1 Corinthians 15 where he says, starting verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on, or must put on immortality." And so we are going to be changed, you know, this body that we're in with its sin nature will be changed into a resurrected body without a sin nature. Now, we'll be in heaven during the tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the tribulation period, we'll return with Christ there at the Battle of Armageddon. And Revelation 19 talks about that, returning with Christ. Now, there's going to be people saved during the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about multitudes of people, large numbers of people who come to Christ during the tribulation period. And some of them will die during that time frame, and they will be in heaven, obviously, and presumably they will also have a resurrected body, and they'll return probably at the end of the tribulation with us, the armies of heaven. What's that?
So the people saved during the tribulation, they will not have a sin nature. Okay.
Yeah, that's the ones who die during the tribulation.
During the tribulation.
Yeah, but the ones who survive the tribulation period, at the end of the tribulation when Jesus returns, there's going to be a number of people who come to Christ and they're saved and they endure to the end, and they're saved in the sense that physically they're saved through the things of the tribulation period, and they're alive when Jesus returns. They will go into the millennial kingdom, and these are the ones who will be like we are today. They'll be saved, but they have a sin nature. And then they'll have children whose children's children will grow up with a sin nature and have to be saved as well. Hey, Nancy, we're coming up on a break. We can continue talking about this, but we'll take a short break and we'll pick this up on the other side. So stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me, about the radio program, and you can also find out about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland, where I am the pastor, and we'd love to have you visit if you're in the area sometime. Also, again, just to, again, what I said at the beginning of the hour here in Tampa, Faith Talk Tampa, we have been on the last year, and thanks to a gift from a saint of God who had a burden for the program and to see us on the air, we are going to do another year, it looks like. It's been provided, the funding provided, so that we can do another year on Faith Talk Tampa and continue there in the Tampa Bay area and surrounding areas where their various stations and translators are. What do we have? We have, I think, 760, 570, and 910 AM, and then 104.3, 100.3, and 102.1 FM stations there. Cover a pretty good area, and we're certainly thankful for our Tampa listeners and appreciate your prayers for us. That's only through the prayers of God's people we're able to do that. It's a small church. We wouldn't have the money on our own, but thankfully God provided, and so we're just rejoicing. So we're looking forward to another year on Faith Talk Tampa. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program. As I said, Pastor Al Davis, this is Live with Pastor, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We were talking with Nancy just before the break there. We were talking about the people who are going to go into the millennial kingdom. And Nancy, are you still with us there?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. And I have a question for you.
All right, go ahead.
Now everybody that was ever saved in all of the earth, 10,000 years or whatever, everybody that was saved, are they going to all go into the millennium? That's what I want to know.
Yes, it will be, like I said, a couple different categories, because there's a number of groups of believers. There's the Old Testament saints, but they're broken up into a couple different groups as well, because remember, there were people who came to Christ prior to the flood. And let me walk that back. I said came to Christ. They did not necessarily know the name Jesus Christ, obviously, but they had a believing faith in a coming Messiah. I believe that goes all the way back to when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate the forbidden fruit. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. They sewed them together, made aprons, and God said that's not good enough, and he killed an innocent animal. He established the idea that it would take the shedding of blood, as the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, meaning there's no remission of our sin. And see, Adam and Eve's initial effort to cover the result of their sin was the works of their hands, and it was also bloodless. But it wasn't until God killed an innocent animal, shed its blood, that a covering for the effects of their sin was made that was acceptable to God. And so then you had the principle of an animal sacrifice. Remember Cain and Abel. Abel brought from the flock that he kept a sacrifice. He offered up a sheep to God, and the innocent animal was slain, and God was pleased with his sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, through the works of his hands, you know, in his gardening efforts, he brought of his crops to the Lord and thought that would please God, and it, obviously it didn't, and he should have known better, because the principle had already been established of the blood that atones for sin, and all of that pointed to the coming Messiah, the coming sacrifice that, of course, we celebrate at Easter time, when we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. All of the innocent sacrifices in the Bible pointed to that. And then, of course, after the flood, we had the time of the patriarchs prior to the law, and that's a group of people. They all looked forward in faith to the coming Messiah. And one of the reasons I know that, remember Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible. Job was a contemporary of, say, probably like Jacob and that time frame. And he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And so he talks about a Redeemer. And then, of course, once the law came, you have another group of believers, and the law pointed to the coming Redeemer. And we have prophecies of the coming Redeemer and Savior throughout the Old Testament in the prophets. And so the law and the prophets speak of Christ. When Christ was resurrected from the dead, remember, he met with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they talked as they traveled down the walking along the road, and he opened up to them the law and the prophets, and he showed from them how that the Messiah must come and be sacrificed. Daniel, his prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 talked about the coming of the Messiah and then him being cut off and then later returning and setting up his kingdom. And so we have all of these groups that have happened. And then, of course, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we have on the day of Pentecost the Spirit of God coming down, filling the disciples, and we see them going out into the world preaching the gospel. And so we live in the age of grace. A lot of people call it the church age, but age of grace is probably a better term. And so we have people being saved during this dispensation, this age of grace, that are different than the Old Testament saints, different than the Jewish believers. And in fact, the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, meaning Gentile, in Christ. And so we represent a distinct group, and we will be caught out of the world at the event we call the rapture, the catching away of believers that we talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's other things that talk about as well. But we will be in heaven, and then, as I said, after the rapture takes place, the Antichrist will be revealed, and the seven-year tribulation will take place. People will come to saving knowledge of Christ during the tribulation period. Now, some of them, many of them, will die during the tribulation period. They'll either be killed by the forces of the Antichrist, or they'll die in some of the natural disasters and wars and things that are going on. They will be in heaven, which presumably they also will receive a resurrected body at that time. But there are some people on the earth who will survive the tribulation. The Bible over in Zechariah, I can't think of the exact reference right now, talks about, I think it is, that two-thirds of the Jewish people who were alive at the beginning of the tribulation will die, and a third of them will survive the tribulation. And if you take the time to read the last three, four chapters of Zechariah, you will see how the Jewish people who are alive at the end of the tribulation, many if not most of them, will realize that Jesus is the Messiah. And Paul even talked about that in Romans 11, I believe it is, where he said that all Israel will be saved. And that's the ones who are on earth at that time. And these people who are alive at the end of the tribulation, Jew and Gentile alike, who come to a saving knowledge of Christ, when Jesus returns, they're going to be alive, and they'll be like we are today. They will be saved, but they have the same body of flesh and blood that we have with that sin nature. And they will go into the millennial kingdom, and during that time, those people will have children, and their children will be born just like ours are today, where they'll be born with a sin nature, because as descendants of Adam, the Bible says by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's why we need a Savior. And so those children will grow up, and they will need to put their faith in Christ as their Savior. And then they'll have children, and their children will grow up, and they'll, again, have a sin nature. And so by the time we get into the millennial kingdom, you know, a few hundred years into the a few hundred years into the millennial kingdom, there's probably going to be millions, if not billions, of people on the earth. And many of them will be saved, but not all of them will be, because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 that the devil before the millennium begins, you know, when the Lord comes back, he takes him and he's bound with a chain and thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he comes out and he raises up one final attempt at trying to dethrone God, and of course it's done away with rather quickly. And in that attempt, he rallies multitudes of people to turn against God. And so those are going to be people who grow up during the millennial kingdom with that sin nature that never gets saved. Now, I don't know about most people, but I know that the biggest detriment to me in my Christian walk is not the corrupt politicians or even the world. The most, the biggest detriment to me in my Christian walk is me. It really is.
True.
My sin nature. That's the biggest hindrance to me in my Christian walk. It's my sin nature. And Paul even talked about that. I think it's in Romans chapter 7, where he talked about doing things that he knew that he shouldn't do and not doing things that he knew that he should do. And he said it was because of the sin nature that's in his flesh. And one day, you know, when we're caught up to be with the Lord, we'll get a new resurrected body without that sin nature. You know, as much trouble as it's been with me in my lifetime, I can't imagine going 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, like the people in the Old Testament lived for hundreds of years, struggling with that sin nature, even as a believer.
Yes, amen, yeah.
But, you know, that's why it's great. It'd be good to get saved now so that when you go into the millennium, you'll go there with the new resurrected body with no sin nature.
Mm-hmm. So when we're in the millennium, we're going to be seeing the Old Testament saints and all those that got saved before the flood. Are we going to all be mixed up?
I think we'll all be here. God's going to have roles for us. The Bible says that we will be priests. In fact, let me just turn back here to Revelation chapter number 1 here. And it says this. Starting verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And notice verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says he's made us to be kings and priests, which means we're going to rule and reign with him during the millennial kingdom. Now, ruling and reigning doesn't mean everybody's going to have a big, you know, office of some sort. I point out to people that when you deal with the government, not everybody is a governor, not everybody is a president, not everybody is a senator, not everybody is a representative, not everybody is a judge. A lot of people are just clerks, you know?
Right.
But you guess what? A clerk is ruling and reigning, in a sense, because they're carrying out the responsibilities of the government. And that's what we're going to be, you know, doing. Some of us may have greater responsibility. You know, somebody like the Apostle Paul, for instance, is certainly going to have a lot more responsibility than somebody like me. And when we stand before the Lord in heaven after we're there with him, we're going to go what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to happen is we're not going to be, you know, decided whether or not we can go into heaven. That already took place when we put our faith in Christ. Our sins were forgiven, and whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. He gives us eternal life. We'll never perish. We'll be with him. So that's guaranteed. But what the judgment seat of Christ does do is it allows God to evaluate our quality of service in this life and then award us on the basis of our faithful service with positions in his government, as it were. Here's an interesting passage, I think, that relates to this in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And he continues on, but this part here, a royal priesthood and holy nation, talks about the unique status that we have, that we're with him, and that, you know, that kind of evokes the idea of priests and kings with him, you know, ruling and reigning with him in a spiritual sense, in a municipal sense, I guess you could say, a civil sense, civil and, you know, or maybe this would be a way, secular and sacred senses of that. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting to think about. One day we'll be with him. Mm-hmm. But it all, you know, what we do in the millennial kingdom is going to be based on our faithfulness here in this life. You know, how do we serve God? What do we do for him today? Do we do the things that he asks us to do? And this is where we encourage Christians, you know, just because you're saved, don't think it's like fire insurance and I don't have anything to worry about. I'll just coast. No, you want to serve, you want to do things so that one day when you stand before the Lord, you know, I want to hear, and I hope everybody wants to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
You know, go ahead.
So can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
So when we're before the judgment seat of Christ, it's almost like a job evaluation time. God, Jesus, is evaluating us to see what kind of position we're going to have in the millennium. Wouldn't you say it's sort of like a job evaluation?
Yes, absolutely. And mm-hmm. and listen to this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's talking about when we're present with the Lord. He says, let me jump in here in verse number 9. He says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. And he continues on talking, but this idea that everything done in our body, whether it be good or bad, this is not an evaluation of whether we get into heaven because we've done more good than bad, or we don't get into heaven because we've done more bad than good. It's an evaluation, just like you said. It's an evaluation of our service. Was our service good? Did we do a good job, or did we not do a good job? Which is where the bad is. The bad is because we didn't do a good job.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
And it's very complicated.
Yeah.
Of course, God can do everything, and he knows everything. But it's not just what you've done. It's your motive.
Yes. And, that's a very good point.
Inside your brain, you know, why are you doing it? Are you doing it to get attention from other people? Are you doing it truly to serve God? And so God, in his infinite wisdom, he can evaluate not only what you've done, but your motives all at once. So I think that's very mind-boggling.
and that's absolutely true. The motives that we have are very important, because that made me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says this. He says in starting verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now that's when we get saved. That foundation is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're saved. There's the foundation. Now we're going to build on that foundation, he says, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What he's talking about, there's an evaluation of the motivation of what we did. You know, if I did this radio program, people might be thinking, wow, that's great. Pastor Al comes on the radio. He takes his time to do this. God is going to really reward him for that. Well, that would be appropriate if I'm doing it so I can glorify God and lift up and point people to Christ. But if I'm doing it so people will say, man, that Pastor Al, boy, he is something. You know, if I did it for my own self-glory, then that's right. Like building with wood, hay, and stubble, standing before mm-hmm. God, that's gone. No reward for that. I got my reward, the praise of men. But if I do it for God's glory, that's the building with gold, silver, precious stones. And in fact, you know, God's going to look at what we've done and why we did it. He's going to examine the motivations. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are big names, perhaps, or had big churches, big ministries, but you're going to find that it was all done for the praise of men or for material gain or something, and they're not going to have much left. And there's going to be a lot of people who struggled along sometimes in obscurity just trying to do the best they could for their Savior. And when they get there, they're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because they were sincere. They wanted to serve God to the best of their ability.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining that so well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate you asking about that tonight, giving me a chance to talk about some of those things. And really, this is why we ought to be encouraging people. One, if you hear the gospel and you understand, God gives you understanding, you should put your faith in Christ and get saved immediately. Don't put it off. Well, I got to think about it for a little bit. You know, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. The reason today's the day is because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. And if the rapture takes place, now you're stuck, you know, in the events that are going to take place, and you didn't have to be. But if you put your faith in Christ, you know, your sins are forgiven. You have the assurance of a home and, you know, with the Lord for all eternity. It's great. And then, of course, you know, the promises that God has for us. And then once you are saved, because you're saved, because of what God's done for us, we ought to want to do something for Him. Not for vain glory, for selfish gain, but in order to lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for us, the one who was willing to be lifted up on the cross, mocked, insulted, blasphemed, and yet still He was willing because He loved us before we loved Him. And if we have love for Him, I think it'll help us to serve Him in the right attitude. So thanks again, Nancy, for listening. I want to thank all of our people tonight for listening, our callers. Thanks. Join us next week. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.